Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Thank God for all you folks out there, and I mean that, because if I would have tweeted that thought about the Lion King, I would have just been called reckless and stupid and trying to get reactions and trolling the internet. But I could explain to you that, yes, I know I'm in the absolute worst minority that you could find. And I'm part of a very few people. I actually got one person on Twitter agreeing with me. So me and that person are one of two people in America who actually hated it. But I know you love it. And thank you for giving me the floor to just get that off my chest. Because that was true therapy. And if you stayed with me, thank you very, very, very much for that. Zeke Elliott, if the Cowboys don't sign him, they're not going to the Super Bowl. Also, if LeBron James wins another championship, I know you're going to hate it. We have to have that conversation again. That coming up in the final hour. Right now, though, we got to go to the hotline. We welcome in one of the best from Fangraphs. Find this guy on Twitter, J_Jaffe. He's senior writer for Fangraphs. Jay Jaffe joins us on the show. Jay, thanks for joining us today, my friend.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
Jay, where are you at? It sounds busy right now. What's going on?
I am just leaving Pier 6 Brooklyn Bridge Park.
Look at that. Wow. You're having a good time on a Saturday.
Well, you know, right. I got a 3-year-old daughter here to entertain too. So, we're just leaving the Sandbox Village.
Are you going to take her to the Lion King?
No.
No.
She's a little young for that.
Oh, I love it. Okay. He wasn't here for the previous segment. Okay, I would agree with you, but for completely different reasons, Jay. Some people were upset. They were disappointed by the trade deadline. What were your thoughts of the trade deadline?
Well, you know, there was only, I think, one real blockbuster, and that was the Zach Greinke one. But there was a record level of volume on the final day. You know, I think that if you asked around, I would say most teams might have been a little bit flustered by the reality of the single one-stop shopping trade deadline, as opposed to the two-step process that we've had in years past, and that basically is because we've got a record number of teams within perceived striking distance of the wild card. I think Jason Stark of The Athletic had something like 16 teams within three games of a playoff spot being a record. Since we moved to 30 teams, so. That made it a lot harder for teams to determine whether they were buyers or sellers or what they could do. And I think that limited a lot, that drove up prices in some cases and limited a lot of what could get done.
Jay Jaffe joining us on the show. Why didn't the Twins make a whole lot of moves? They had a nice lead in the Central. The Indians climbed back in, but it was against weak opponents. I thought the Twins might make a big jump. It seems like this could be the year that they have some fun. They really didn't do that.
Well, they added a couple of bullpen arms, and I think they were decent arms, Sergio Romo and Sam Dyson. I think that they, like a lot of other teams, they found the prices to be too high, and it's tough to fault the Twins for not doing anything when the Red Sox didn't even do as much as the Twins do, and they needed bullpen help even worse.
And people were calling for Dombrowski's job, even though, they're a World Series champion there. Is the pressure on the Yankees and Red Sox, historically it's different, obviously, but is that just a microcosm of what's gone on where you're just expected to be able to spend the money and make those moves and just be better, and if you're ever in problems, you're just supposed to spend your way out of it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think, Brian Cashman, the Yankees general manager, has a really strong reputation for just pulling the rabbit out of the hat every deadline. We call him the stealth bomber. I mean, he comes up with a deal that nobody had on their board, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, how did the Yankees do that? I'm thinking back to the 2016 deadline when they went the other direction and ended up getting Clint Frazier in the Andrew Miller deal and Gleyber Torres in the Aroldis Chapman deal. I think the Yankees' failure to land a starting pitcher might have been the single biggest mistake of the deadline.
Jay Jaffe joining us, senior writer for Fangraphs. So are the Houston Astros now, after the Greinke move, that great lineup, are they the prohibitive favorite now to win the World Series?
I think so. I mean, you know, the addition of Greinke, and also, I mean, I think the kind of the lower key addition of Aaron Sanchez and Joe Biagini from the Blue Jays, I think that they separated themselves from the rest of the American League even more. You know, you look at the Yankees not doing anything and the Astros being aggressive, and I think that, you know, the gap between those two teams just got a little bit wider.
Let me run something by you. If you don't like it, you throw it right back at me. If Aaron Sanchez, if it comes out officially that Major League Baseball changed the baseballs, which I know Rob Manfred kind of finds a way to talk around every time he's asked, I wonder if Aaron Sanchez should sue Major League Baseball because of what it's done to his hands, and it seems like it's only done that after those baseballs have been changed.
Well, I don't think it. I doubt that any player has the standing to do that. I'm not a lawyer. But, you know, I don't think any player really has the standing to do that. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement. You agree to these rules. You're part of what's going on. And look, the baseball has changed. I have zero doubt about that. I mean, it's right there in the MLB Home Run Committee's own report, a documentation of several incremental changes that Rob Manfred doesn't think are substantial, but together have had a major effect on the aerodynamics of the ball. So, you know, tough luck for Sanchez, but I do think he's going to an organization that if anybody can fix him, it's the Astros. You look at their track record with guys like Charlie Morton and even Justin Verlander, and the union between their analytics department and their coaching staff, I think, is second to none in Major League Baseball. So I think that we'll see Sanchez maybe reinventing himself down the road.
Is there a team you think is a dark horse candidate for a World Series championship right now?
I think everybody else is a dark horse compared to the Astros.
Wow, that's strong with the Astros. I like it.
Yeah, I just think that there's everybody else is taking a little bit of a back seat there. I like what the Indians did. You know, I think that when you look at where they were, say, a month ago and how they came out of that Trevor Bauer deal, I really like what they did because they upgraded for short and long term. They got offense at the corner outfield and DH. They still have a pretty strong rotation. Hopefully they're going to be getting Corey Kluber back. Danny Salazar struggled in his first outing in almost 2 years, but I think he's got some promise for them, if not out of the rotation, then out of the bullpen. So, you know, they're good at handling young pitching, and maybe Logan Allen turns into somebody who can help them down the stretch too.
Jay Jaffe joining us on the show. This is the time of year for Hall of Fames and Hall of Fame speeches. It was 40 years ago yesterday Thurman Munson passed away in the plane crash. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
I argue yes. You look at what Munson did in his 11-year career, 7-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, Rookie of the Year, MVP, 3-time starting catcher on a pennant winner, twice champion. He had basically done all of the major things that we expect Hall of Famers to do, except attain the longevity-driven milestones that you don't get until you stick around after 35, 36. And, you know, I think that it's when I look at him with my JAWS system, which uses wins above replacement on a career and 7-year peak level, he had already surpassed the average peak of a Hall of Fame catcher. And, you know, I think what was left really was window dressing based on his accomplishments. So, yes, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Jay Jaffe with us on the show. Do you agree with the theory of tanking, like maybe the Orioles, like maybe the Tigers, and so on and so forth have done?
Well, I mean, I think it's a defensible strategy. I think the problem is that the incentives in the most recent collective bargaining agreement make it too easy because of the way that revenue is shared, and it's just there's not enough penalty for that. I think that if you instituted a draft lottery, you know, so you're not guaranteed the number one pick if you have, you know, if you lose 110 games. And I think if you maybe alter the revenue sharing formula so that there is a performance aspect of it, and there is more of a reward for, let's say, winning 75 to 80 games rather than, you know, just going to 50 games or 60 games. I think you could mitigate some of the distasteful aspects of going full tank, instead seeing teams maybe taking a little bit more of a retooling rather than total rebuilding.
What's your thoughts on adding one more team each to the postseason on the AL and NL sides?
No. I like the desperation of the wild card game. I think it's exciting. But I think you have to realize that as we've expanded the playoffs, we've taken the excitement and focus away from focusing on who are the best teams in each division. So now you're focusing on like the battle to be the fifth or sixth best team in each league. And that's, you know, I just don't think that is all that constructive. I think you want the focus to be on the best team in each league and the fight for the very top spot.
All right, Jay, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right, sure thing. Thanks, guys.
Jay Jaffe joining us on the show. Senior writer for Fangraphs. Follow him on Twitter, @Jay_Jaffe. Tom, record that. Cut it. Be ready to use it in the next segment. Because coming up next, you want baseball business to pick up during the trade deadline? Expand the playoffs. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Just had Jay Jaffe on from Fangraphs, also coming up in just over 20 minutes. If he wins another one, we got to have that conversation. You don't know that conversation yet. You're about to hate me when I tell you about it. But just had Jay Jaffe on from Fangraphs. Asked him at the end, do you want to expand the postseason? Do we have his answer yet, Tom? Hit it.
No. I like the desperation of the wild card game. I think it's exciting. But I think you have to realize that as we've expanded the playoffs, we've taken the excitement and focus away from focusing on who are the best teams in each division. So now you're focusing on like the battle to be the fifth or sixth best team in each league. And that's, you know, I just don't think that is all that constructive. I think you want the focus to be on the best team in each league and the fight for the very top spot.
I'm sorry, I just completely disagree with it. He's very smart. He knows baseball. I take nothing away from that. I just completely disagree with that. I don't think that most baseball fans watch baseball the way that Jay Jaffe watches baseball. And I think we do that in every other sport. Whether or not it's right or wrong, you can argue with it. But if you look at the NFL, we can basically guess that barring some unforeseen circumstance, the Patriots are going to win the AFC East. That barring some unforeseen circumstance, the Saints are probably going to win the NFC South. The Seahawks can give the Rams a run. We'll see how that goes. But by the end of the year, we know who the very best teams are at the tippy top. Our focus is on who gets into the postseason through the wild card. Andy Dalton with chicken wings and everything given to him from Buffalo, that's a big deal in the NFL. We can do that in baseball. I think we already do that in baseball. Do people not already realize? And I think that people in Tampa who are Rays fans, who watch the Rays, they might be focused on trying to get back into that race. They're 7.5 back, but they already know, hey, the Yankees are 69-39. They're one of the best. The Astros are 71-40. They're one of the best. I don't think they focus on them. I don't think they focus on the Dodgers being 72-40 and really care about the Dodgers. I think if you're in Arizona and you're a Diamondbacks fan, or if you're in San Francisco and a Giants fan, during the year you're focused on your team and your team getting into the postseason. I don't think people are watching number one and number two in that race. And I think that ultimately hurts baseball. Because I know Jay Jaffe can give me plenty of reasons why he watches those games and why he watches those teams. I got to look at the regular person and say, how can I expand that? And my reason for it, to make business better for the trade deadline, to make business better for the trade deadline, to make business better with television right at the end of the season, to make television better and to make viewing and stadiums better for the end of the year, to make interest better. Give me one more team. Just give me one more team. Expand it to six on each side. Give me one more team. If I look at the wild card standings right now, I did this last year, and I ended up bringing up the Angels with it. I thought the Angels were the best example possible. Right now, the Angels would be sitting seven games back at the second wild card spot. Probably not going to happen. Let's look at the American League right now. Indians two up. Rays right there with that second spot. A's a half game back. Red Sox four games back. Hello? Use them as the example. You have a second, or I should say a third team that's able to get in. That means that the Red Sox are buying more, possibly, because I say get rid of the one-game playoff, make it a three-game series. That gives me a better chance. I'm able to have three possible games with three great pitchers. I can go after pitchers. I can do that. I can go out and buy pitchers and make it legitimate to myself and my ownership and my fan base that we're going for the gusto with these guys, and I can feel good about it, knowing that I have a three-game series at least to get back into it. It could be a bad thing. I could argue it's a better thing, but if we want to talk about the top spot can at least rest and wait for the wild card to be sorted out. You could do it in that case if you really wanted to. But if I look at adding an extra team, I think it creates more ratings. I'm not talking about up against the NFL. I'm talking about just in general. I think it creates more ratings. I think it creates a better opportunity to create superstars. There's more cameras on more faces, and it keeps you more interested. Boston, and this is where it's a bad example, Boston's a good baseball town regardless. They're going to be interested in the Red Sox. That's why they're so upset with their general manager for not making moves. It's a good ball club, even though they took it a bit on the chin. If I look at the Oakland A's, it's a struggle sometimes to get people in there. I know that the hardcore A's fans, they love that type of mentality. They love being the underdog. We've made movies about it. Say you have that chance to be a buyer. Now I don't have to say goodbye to some of my stars the way that I might have to say goodbye to some of my stars in the past because I know that I'm not going to sign them. But wait a minute. We have a chance to get to the postseason. The entire point of baseball is just to get to the postseason. Give me a chance to do something special. That's what they say. You can't predict baseball. That's the words of John Sterling. That's the words of John Miller. That's the words of Vin Scully. You can't predict the game. So get me into the postseason. So if the A's have a shot to get to the postseason, now as a run-of-the-mill A's fan, now you have a buy-in. Now you have a reason to jump on the bandwagon. The A's have been very good over the last couple of months from what it's looked like. You have a chance to do something special. Now I can buy some more. Now I can get back into this thing. Well, Ken, that gets rid of the sellers. That makes it even better. Now the price for the sellers, the teams like the Orioles, the teams like the Tigers, the teams like the Royals and the Jays, now it gets even better because the price goes higher. You get something back that's higher in return. You might get a chance, maybe, general manager with a job on the line, an upset fan base, haven't done exactly what you're supposed to do, and now they're sitting there in that third or fourth spot for that wild card spot. You need just that extra oomph to push you over the edge. And they want them, and you got them. And you're sitting there with 36 or 40 wins, and you need something that's going to make it even better. Maybe we can sweeten the pot here. So you suck up the room this year, but at least you're not sucking up the room for that long. Get some prospects, get some people excited, move on to 2020 like the Royals, Orioles, Tigers, Jays, and Mariners already have. Now you have yourself an opportunity to find a way to make it better. And I just, again, look at the overall aspect of the entertainment of it. I get to the postseason. People watch postseason baseball for the same reasons they say they hate regular season baseball. It's not a wait around, it's anticipation. You're waiting to see the big home run. You're waiting to see the big strikeout. But now you're anticipating it. It's big time sports. There's drama. We'll create storylines. Fox does a great job of that. Major League Baseball Network does a great job of that. TBS will do that. You'll have good guys and bad guys, villains and faces, and really good storylines that you can get behind, that you can be brought into, that you just can't do during the regular season. The regular season's long, the regular season's arduous, and yet what this does, it does take some of the heat off the regular season. But you already watched the game regionally anyway. If I asked you if you watched the Giants game last week in football, you'll probably say, yeah, I saw a little bit of it. If I asked you if I saw the Cardinals game, yeah, I probably saw a little bit of it. If I asked you if you saw the Chicago White Sox game, well, why would I watch the White Sox game? The Rangers play at the same time. You're watching the Rangers if you're watching baseball and you're a Rangers fan. If you're in the NFL, you're watching other teams. That argument that I did get from Jay, it doesn't wash to me. I don't think that the primary amount of sports fans are watching baseball as if they have the extra innings package and they're just going from game to game to game and seeing different games and seeing different pitchers and they're writing blogs about it. I don't think that that's really the connection with the regular fan. I think the regular fan is watching their team. They're watching it passively. They're probably doing something else at the house. They probably have the game on the radio in the background while they're doing something else during the weekend. Summertime, maybe they're barbecuing and they turn on their favorite broadcaster. Maybe they got Greg Brown on in Pittsburgh, even though the Pirates have been sucking up the room over the last couple of months, but they still like Greg Brown. There it is. And maybe a guy who's just a run-of-the-mill Pirates fan, maybe if they were a little bit closer like they were last year, maybe you're a buy-in. You give yourself a chance. Now I'm an active Pirates fan. And now during football season, when I'm consumed with the Steelers, and when I'm consumed with Pitt or Penn State or West Virginia, now you make me a little bit more of a Pirates fan. Now maybe I'm willing to spend more money on the Pirates. Now I'm willing to spend more money to go into next year to see another guy there. I can use that example, and I can't use it now because the Pirates have won, what, 47 or 48 games? I think they won last night. So I can't use the Pirates as the example this year, but every year you're going to have teams like that. And also, I have a chance to keep more stars. Maybe, just maybe, and this is where it's very flimsy, I understand. You have yourself a star, and I don't automatically have to think that they're going to go to the Cubs, or they're going to go to the Dodgers, or they're going to go to the Yankees or Red Sox. Maybe, just maybe, I'm willing to, because I'm close, and because I got that postseason feeling from just getting into that sixth spot, maybe I won that three-game series. We're now a guy, we got to give what we can to make sure that guy stays around. Now I have a buy-in for the long term. It's flimsy because there's so many things that could go against it. Do you really have the financial wherewithal to do so? Do you really have the funds long term to do so? Do you really have the farm system and the current players that you could put around that guy? Because it's not just paying one guy. You got to make sure that good players are around him. I think that's what San Diego's going through right now with Manny Machado. I know they threw some money some other guys, but they're making some weird moves. So I know that that's a bit of a flimsy part, but every way I look at this, I get more cameras on more faces, I get more eyes watching through those cameras, I get more baseball that actually counts, that actually matters, I get more drama, more storyline in a professional sport, ultimately, bottom line, I get more entertainment, I get more movement at the trade deadline, I get bigger deals for what I perceive are bigger players. Ultimately, it's more entertaining. That's what baseball is supposed to go for. That's what the NBA goes for. That's what the National Football League goes for. That's what professional sports are. It's an entertainment. I know you want to protect the sanctity, quote-unquote, of baseball. I know you want to talk about the history of baseball. The baseball is supposed to do one thing. Pro sports are supposed to do one thing. Make money and make money by entertaining me. If you don't entertain me, you're not going to get my money. And a bandwagon fan who you hate, their money spends just as well as yours does. And you need those people to come around. That's what's able to buy your favorite baseball players. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Should they expand the playoffs? And also coming up, I'm not going to pity a champion. And you know what? If you know who wins one more title, we have to have that conversation again.
This is the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Final segment of the day. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send them hot at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N. I can't tell you, I can't pity a champion. I'm never going to pity a champion. And I'm in Cleveland, all right? And so I talked to a couple of people who talked to him, and according to what they say, David Griffin did not know the article was going to read out the way it did. According to him, the context, it's been out of context. Now, this is the difference between spoken word and written word. This is why guys like Trevor Bauer records every interview he does by himself, so he has his own accounting of it, which is a great idea, by the way. David Griffin gave an interview, and according to Sports Illustrated, it said he was miserable during his years, three-year stint with the Cleveland Cavaliers, including the time with LeBron James. Everything we did was so inorganic and unsustainable and, frankly, not fun. I was miserable, Griffin told Sports Illustrated's Jake Fisher. Literally the moment we won the championship, I knew I was going to leave. There was no way I was going to stay for any amount of money, end quote. During the two-year stretch as an analyst for TV, quote, I didn't watch the league anymore. I didn't love the game anymore after the 2016 finals. I was so fixated on the outcome that I just totally lost my joy, end quote. A lot of strong stuff here from David Griffin. Now, originally it reads, and almost like, well, I'm so sad we won a championship. I think that David Griffin's a smart guy. I like David Griffin. But I don't know. If you didn't want to do it, you should have just quit the day they signed LeBron. I know that that might seem crazy, and there's so many different ways that you could say that that's not really the case it should be. If you didn't want to deal with this, and I understand it offends your sensibilities. A general manager didn't want to pay Tristan Thompson $82 million. That's the LeBron difference. You want to know what it's like with LeBron? Tristan Thompson gets $82 million, and I don't bat an eye. J.R. Smith gets $44 million, then throws soup at an assistant coach. That's life with LeBron. You know what else life with LeBron is? You win a championship. You make runs to championships. You go to three straight finals while you're there. You got to sell your soul, basically, to LeBron, and he owns you in basically every sense of the way. The fans will never take your side while LeBron's there. We all took LeBron's side when he was in Miami and when he was in Cleveland. This time's been a little bit different, but we're about to see another difference here, and I'll get to that here in a second. I just can't cry and can't find pity, and I don't know if that's originally what he was asking for, because he said he wanted to reframe his comments after that interview. I can't find pity with a champion. I'm not going to cry you a river of tears because it worked out for you. David Griffin gets a shot with Zion Williamson. He had the luck that worked out for him, but what David Griffin got was a legacy and a future based on LeBron James. The Cavaliers without LeBron, if you look over the last 20 years, they've been a hapless organization. They've really been the Browns. Baker Mayfield is the LeBron James of the Cleveland Browns. LeBron James was obviously the LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you look at it basically any other time, they have been a hapless, rudderless ship. Dan Gilbert's had trouble keeping people that he wanted to make sure were good coaches, good general managers. He's had trouble with guys who are maybe selling him a bill of goods at times. He's always been willing to pay the freight. He was more than willing to pay Tristan Thompson. He was more than willing to pay J.R. Smith. You can't take that away. That's the thing you have when you come to Cleveland. Dan Gilbert's willing to pay all that money to make sure that guys are in the best position to win a championship. And I'll always give Dan Gilbert the credit. Billionaires don't apologize. Dan Gilbert went down to Miami, talked things through with LeBron, put a hat in his hand, told him that he was wrong, and they won a championship together. I will always give Dan Gilbert that credit, no matter what anybody wants to say. That takes stones by a billionaire to do. They don't apologize. They have too much money. They don't have to. He did. So there's credit where credit's due. And I give LeBron credit. LeBron has great skills. LeBron brings a lot of pressure, but also has a lot of pressure on himself. If your team falters, like we saw with the Lakers this year, I put almost every square inch of damn blame on LeBron James, and I still believe rightfully so. LeVar Ball is a clown. I'm not going to go off on LeVar Ball. I don't have to. He was a clown before. He's a clown now. If you spent big time amounts on epic rants about LeVar Ball, of all people, that's shame on you. You should have known that was a dog and pony show, something that wasn't going to last. LeBron James has a lasting legacy. LeBron James has something to talk about. And when you're connected to LeBron James, he's been in the league for way too long. And even at the time when he came back to Cleveland in 2014, he was in the league way too long for you to believe anything else other than this is going to hurt. This is going to be very tough to deal with. I'm going to have to make moves that offend what I think is right about building a basketball team. You know what you're also going to do? You're going to go to the finals. You know what you're also going to do? Make your name a household name. People know who David Griffin is. People know that he's smart. People know that he's eloquent. People know that he can make good moves. People know that he is a good steward of a franchise. And why do they know that? Because he's a general manager on a team that had LeBron James. He traded for Kevin Love. He traded away Andrew Wiggins. People here went nuts. They wanted Andrew Wiggins so bad. And every now and then, I'll get a call every now and then about Andrew Wiggins. And I know just how much basketball that guy watches, because you never would make that call still if that were the case. David Griffin had to make really unpopular decisions every now and then, but it was okay because you had LeBron. And he knew that it probably was not the greatest decision, but it still ended up with a championship. That's why I'm not going to pity you, whether you meant the words, whether you meant the words and then wanted to take them back, or whether it was really taken out of context or printed out of context in this way. I'm not going to pity a champion. Said he went in, wept in a closet, knowing that things are going to change and he's never going to be the same and he's going to leave. Tears of sadness after a championship? After one of the greatest comebacks in sports history? You're known as the engineer? One of the general managers, one of the two guys, to get over on the Golden State Warriors? I cannot pity you as a champion. I refuse to. I like David Griffin. I admire David Griffin. I think that whether or not it's even in context or out of context, I think it's flatly ridiculous. If you're, and you understand this, and he should understand this, if your draft pick ends up being who people think he should be, you're going to go through all this again. The media has made your number one draft pick, myself included. He's the next LeBron. It's not Russell Westbrook. It's not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's too old. Kevin Durant's over 30. He's going to be hurt this year. It's certainly not Kyrie Irving. He's not ready for that type of heat. It's not Steph Curry. He's not physically gifted the way LeBron is. Your draft pick's that next guy. If you didn't like it before, you're not going to like the future. Zion's that next guy. Zion's the guy with the highest shoe contract coming out of college. Zion's a guy, he's the reason why people watched basketball in doubled ratings in the ACC this year. Zion's that guy, not anybody else. Zion's a guy who's already media savvy. Zion's a guy that already knows about what it takes to be in the media, who's already doing commercials. He's that guy. We need to wake up and realize this. It's not any current player who's the next LeBron James. He's not passing the torch off to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has a unibrow, and that's where the line ends. The guy that's getting the torch will more than likely be Zion Williamson. Unless you feel that he's going to be a tremendous bust, then it's your opinion. But the way we all see it right now, the media, and the media makes these guys. Make no mistake about it. We did it with LeBron. We did it with anybody else. We didn't want to give it to Kobe. And we didn't let Kobe have it. It was Michael, it was LeBron. To a Kobe fan, it's Kobe. But not in between for the media. We didn't want Kobe to have that. Kobe wasn't the number one overall pick. We didn't cover Kobe in high school. We covered LeBron in high school. That's the guy. So it was LeBron, not Kobe. And we covered Zion in high school. We covered Zion at Duke. We covered Zion in every facet we possibly could. And he already knows it. He's that guy. And you're telling me that you were miserable? Guess what? It ain't gonna get any better. Which brings me to another point. A very uncomfortable conversation that we're all about to have in the NBA if the Lakers do what the Lakers are supposed to do. Tom asked me the question during Five Burning Questions earlier today, because that's what we do, ask questions during that segment. He asked me, what was the game to watch on Christmas Day? Now, he went through them rather quickly. I didn't have them written down, and I had to basically guess over the top. But you did mention, Tom, you mentioned the Clippers, and you mentioned the Lakers. Isn't that correct?
That's right. That's the kind of showpiece, yeah.
And I told you, the 30 for 30 is already written, and since I've given you the idea, I want to be the one to narrate it. 30 for 30, a house divided. The Clippers versus the Lakers, or since the Lakers have won more championships and they're the ones with LeBron, oh, here we go. Lakers or Clippers. See, we can start the fight already. That's the centerpiece of it. Now, the Clippers will have something to say. Maybe the Raptors might have something to say. Still, who the hell knows? I have no idea. Maybe you think Boston has something to say. Okay, fine. We're being crazy here. But it seems that if the Lakers might be in the driver's seat yet again. If LeBron does it, you don't want to do it. We have to have that conversation. I know this seems to be a little bit of a hack time in the summertime to do. Football's here, but you know we have to have that conversation because this would be three different franchises. Three different franchises that sold their futures and sold their souls and sold everything they have to placate LeBron James, whose ego is the size from coast to coast, from top to bottom, that encompasses the entire NBA, and the NBA is a global sport, so that encompasses the world. We know that LeBron has an incredible ego. We know that LeBron has an incredible amount of talent, and he still has gas left in his tank. And he put the tweet out that he will be taking no prisoners. I think you're right. Either instead of ether, but he'll be taking no prisoners this year. He seems to have some resolve. That's what he says. We'll see if he has it. And if they win another championship, you don't want to do it. Especially you Kobe fans. We're going to do it. And I'm here for it. And I can't wait to do it. Because if he wins a championship again, from the Heat to Cleveland, where he fulfilled the prophecy, to Los Angeles, where he took one of the greatest organizations in professional sports and took them over and made you love him because he won a championship. We got to do it. I know that he has six rings. I know that he's the face of the NBA in a generation. He's a global icon. He's a marketing genius. He has changed the way of business with professional athletes. He changed the way of the dynamic of what I was with a child, where I might not have cared about basketball if it weren't for Michael Jordan and my favorite team going against Michael Jordan, but still loving Michael Jordan. I know he's all those things to my generation. But if LeBron wins another championship, and that's four with three different organizations, in an era where it is harder and harder and harder to keep guys, where it's harder and harder and harder to recruit them, where it becomes harder to make sure that you can take care of your own business, and where LeBron has taken three organizations, thrown them on his back, has been passive-aggressive, has made them empty out their bank accounts and their reservoir of draft picks to placate him, to advance his game, to advance his ego, and has still given him a championship. Are we not talking about power? And if that were the case, and you're able to make the Lakers do it, another team and another team do it, are we not talking about the most powerful man in organized team sports then? Are we not talking about an argument for a guy who took a team that was a laughingstock, that was supposed to be one of the greatest in professional sports history, got rid of the clowns, got rid of the sideshow, and brought them back to prominence? Where he took a guy like Rob Pelinka, who was an also-ran, and then would make him an NBA champion. Take a guy like Rob Pelinka, where people were worried about the salary cap, when you're not supposed to worry about the salary cap or whatever inclinations there are, because you're the freaking Lakers, and took them to another championship. You don't want to have the conversation. We can't have the conversation yet. They haven't played a game together. But I'm telling you, if they win it this year, I know that David Griffin can cry into his Larry O'Brien trophy. And I know that you Kobe fans are going to struggle with it a little bit because you love Kobe so much, and rightfully so. You spent your entire lives defending the guy and fighting for him against the Michael Jordan fans and the LeBron fans, and you're trying to find your niche right there in the middle that you're supposed to be just as good as any one of those guys. I get it. I know you're mad. But that's going to be one of the residual effects. That five-time might not mean as much as the guy with four. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I hope you've enjoyed today's weather. Enjoy the hell out of it, because in just a few weeks, the weather's going to change and we're all going to miss it. So stop complaining because it's hot. Big thanks to everybody who joined us. Tommy Bowden was great. Big thanks to Tom, Shep, Billy Jack, Peter Schwartz, Darwin Zook. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful weekend, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.